My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenais. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
I'm Dave Detman, also known as Dr. Gadget. I've got a new podcast called The Big Idea. And every week, I talk to inventors and visionaries who made it big in their respective industries. We'll tackle weekly trending tech, provide inside tips for your success, and go deep dives on the latest and greatest innovations. And I know you're going to love this part. I'll also have plenty of free giveaways. Who doesn't love free stuff? So listen to and follow The Big Idea with me, Dr. Gadget, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. Today we're going to talk about a potential engine issue with the new Bronco, maybe the new sales model for vehicles, how you're going to get into that, some new car tech, and more. Before we get started, here's Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator DeAndrea, here with Phil Goldberg.
He's
on the road. Oh, man, we're getting some feedback there. You're on the road. You're driving through Atlanta. We're just going to grab you for a few minutes. Just kind of tell us what's going on, and then you know, we'll let you go, because I know you guys are literally in the middle of
Yeah, man, I flew into Atlanta, Gage and I and his buddy Desmond, one of his trainers, and we flew in here, and ex-teammate of mine, Chuck Smith, who played with the Atlanta Falcons, has one of the best pass-rushing camps, organizations, training facilities in the country, in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we figured we'd fly Gage out here and get him a little one-on-one instruction from the man himself. And part of that, part of his training today, we were there at 8, and the end part of his training today is that we're driving to the University of Georgia, Athens, Georgia, which we are entering right as we speak, and we're going to take a tour of UGA, man, where I used to go to school. So,
okay,
it's,
yeah.
It's cool to be back in Atlanta, and cool to be here in Georgia.
All right. Wait, is Gage with you? Because I've got questions.
He is with me. All right. Let me put you on speaker real quick.
Okay, Gage.
Hey, Gage.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How's the trip so far?
It's really fun.
Yeah? You did some training this morning, and you know, the training, it sounds interesting, but I gotta ask you, are you leaning a little more toward baseball or football? Because you've been a rock star on the baseball field recently. You know, I talked to your dad, and I see posts from your mom all the time, and sounded like baseball was your jam. What's going on?
I honestly don't know. I want to play both in college. I'm gonna try.
Both in college. Okay. I guess I haven't really thought about it, but is it possible to do, or does one coach fight over you hey, you know, you're spending too much time playing football, you got to play more baseball, or the opposite? Also, in college, they make you like read books and do math and stuff, so you got to have time for that.
No, it's possible, but it just takes a bunch of hard work, and you got to be smart. You got to manage time.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, as far as this particular college where your dad went, did you decide you wanted to go here, or did you not really have a choice because of the old man?
That's not nice.
No, I have a choice, but I want to go here really bad.
Okay, just check it. I know, because he's sitting right next to you. You can say that because he's sitting right there. I understand. All right, so listen, but I did want to ask you, you got the new Bronco, and we've been talking about it here for a while, the Bronco. I think your dad probably spilled the beans to our listeners before you even knew about it. I can't say for sure, but it's possible. And as much as we've talked about the Bronco probably over the last year, you as a new owner, young guy, I wanted to get your perspective. How do you like it? What's going on with you and your Bronco?
I love it. It's a good ride. And you can go off-roading it, too, so it's a plus. But yeah, I really like it.
Now, because you've been around a lot of different things, and I'm a little surprised Dad put you in a Ford and not one of his favorite brands.
But, me too.
But I do like the idea of the Bronco. So you got the four-door, correct?
Yes.
Do you know what engine you got in it?
2.8 or 2.7.
Yeah, the 2.7 then. Okay. Now, and you guys have been outfitting it with a few modifications. Can you tell us what you guys have done to it?
Well, we got a new exhaust. We put on a 2-inch lift. We put on new tires. New ADD bumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Nitto tires. And new wheels.
Rigid lights.
Rigid lights, too.
Okay.
That's the wheels?
Yeah. So did you plus size the tires? Did you go up a size? What's on it? What's on it? 33s? You go to 35s? Or?
We have 35s.
35s. Okay. With a 2-inch lift. So did you drive it before you guys did the lift and the bigger tires? Because I'm curious what your thoughts are. How does it ride before and after the lift? Do you have thoughts on that?
There's no comparison. It's a lot better after.
After, yeah, okay. Right.
Yes.
All right. Have you guys gone a little off-roading in it yet?
A tiny bit. But not that much.
Okay. But now it's just the commuter, right? You're just taking it mostly to school?
Yeah, to school, practice, training, and just going out with my friends and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It sounds good. Are you done with the school year now? Did it end? Because I feel like out here locally, there's been like some graduation parties and stuff. Are you guys done now?
Yes, we finished 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Okay. And then, but you have another year of high school?
Two more years.
Two more years of high school. All right.
Yes. Yeah.
So break the news about the engine.
Literally, there, no pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. I haven't told Paige.
Okay, so... not to scare you, don't worry about it, but if you get on the Bronco forums, there's been some issues. The Bronco 6G forum, it's a great place by the way, if you get a chance, sign up, log in, just check in with everybody there, see what's going on with Bronco news. But there seems to be an issue with the 2.7 liter EcoBoost engine, and they're not exactly sure, but it does result in catastrophic engine failure. It's possibly something with a valve train related problem. It sounds, some people are saying it sounds like they drop a valve, and when that happens, it, you know, it kind of damages the piston and the head and all sorts of things. So several owners of the Bronco with the 2.7 engine have already had their entire engines replaced by Ford. And the NHTSA, which is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they haven't officially issued a recall on the vehicles yet, but they are investigating it. They're requesting information from owners and dealers, and they're trying to figure out what's going on with this engine, that this engine is potentially dying. And in some cases, it's on the freeway at speed, right? So far, about 50 owners have reported issues with it. And I don't know how many have engines replaced. So there is potentially an issue. Ford is aware of it. Now, the good news is Ford is saying whatever this issue is, as they figure it out, it is covered under their 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain warranty. So anybody that does have the issue, look, if the engine breaks, something goes wrong, it sucks. You're going to be stranded on the side of the road. but just know that Ford is, you know, Ford will take care of it for you. Now you're going to have to go through the hassle of downtime with the truck and going to the dealer and doing all that stuff. But yeah, just kind of a crazy thing. We weren't really expecting this with this engine, but you know, new vehicle, a lot of new stuff launching for the first time on it. And as we all know, it's just, you know, one of the questions that comes up all the time is when a new vehicle hits the market, people always ask, should I get that or should I wait a few years? And it's exciting to get it. You know, there's a lot of early adopters out there, myself included. But just know that, you know, 2-3 years from now, a lot of the bugs get worked out, you know. But yeah, potentially a little issue with your truck. So, you know, guess we'll see how it goes. Now, Ford may figure out what the problem is before more engines break. And if they can issue a recall in a fix at the dealers, then you can get ahead of it. Ford may say, "Hey, well, bring your Bronco into the dealer, and we're going to do something. You know, we're going to replace some part or head or valve springs or something that'll fix the issue, and then it won't break." So that's kind of what we're hoping for, is Ford to figure out what's going on and then just issue the recall and get you guys all in there and get fixed up before an actual, you know, before an engine breaks and you got to do an engine swap.
But well, I mean, I feel like it would be fine if my engine blew up, because I see this as an opportunity to get a health motor.
So, all right. Well, first of all, you've been hanging around with your dad too much. it's very possible you guys have been hanging out a little too much with that. Now, that isn't to say, here's the issue, is if your engine breaks, Ford will swap in a new engine at their cost. But if you take the time to go, hey, you know, maybe your friends are in Florida at Gearhead and go, hey, have you guys built yourself up a 2.7 Ford before? Because now might be the opportunity to build me a hot little engine swap, you know, for that thing. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm just saying, be aware. If something does happen, don't freak out. Just get off the road safely and just wait for the flatbed. But
yeah, well, I wouldn't be complaining, so it's fine.
I think you'll be fine. You've got friends, you've got resources, but I just didn't want you to, anybody listening with the Bronco.
Is there parking, or where can I put this thing so I can meet with the boys in there?
For 1 second.
I think you park over there. Okay. It's been like years since I've been here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're back.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I just wanted to check in with you on the Bronco. I think you guys are going to have a good time out there on your trip. Enjoy your Bronco. And check in with us again. You know, Gage, you got to hop on the show again. Tell us more about the Bronco as you're getting a little bit more used to it and get some more time into it and figure out what you like or what you don't like. We just kind of want to get like an honest thought on it, you know.
Oh, my God.
lie to you?
Well, right now you're over the moon because you got a brand new Bronco and you're 16 and it's your first car, and you know, like all of us, like, we're just ecstatic about that. But you know, down the road from now, you start to go, oh, you know what? You know, maybe the brakes don't feel good. Maybe the stereo is not that great. Maybe there's a few things you want to change, or maybe, you know, there's a few things to make it a little more convenient, or, you know, there's just some things like that. This is what we do, right? This is all we talk about on the show, is how we're personalizing our vehicles and making them fun. And you pick the best platform in the world, right, to personalize the vehicle, because the Bronco is just made to be so modular. And as we've seen at SEMA last year, and I'm sure we'll see it this year, there's going to be a million aftermarket parts and things you can do to that thing. So you're going to end up finding some really kind of fun things over time.
Yes. And we will be getting a bunch of more upgrades on it. Right, Dad?
What?
He said a bunch more upgrades, Dad. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I know what he said, but we'll see. Hey, at the end of the day, it's a great vehicle right now for him, or where he's at. And, you know, hopefully we don't have one of those that's going to blow up.
Yeah.
But if it does, it gives us an opportunity to put something in there with a little more horsepower. So, you know, there's always a positive side to any negative situation.
Right. All right. Well, the birds are chirping.
What's that? Oh, the birds?
The birds are chirping. Man, sounds like they're on the podcast.
We are literally walking into the Heritage Hall at the University of Georgia as we speak. So it's just a beautiful, nice little college town, man. So the birds are hanging.
I'm going to be out in Atlanta for the PFL event in a couple of weeks. I unfortunately, our paths aren't going to be able to cross, but I'm excited to go out there and check out the next MMA event that you know, that Bravago is a part of. You know,
I can't wait. I need to get out there. Hopefully sooner than later. I actually may be coming for that one with you. It's quite possible, because I'd like to bring Gage back here. So. You know, we may be crossing paths. You never know.
Yeah. You know, they're doing three events, three Fridays in a row. I think it's the 17th, the 24th, and then July 2nd or 1st or whatever that Friday is. I'm going to be out there on the 17th, but, we can certainly plan around whatever needs to happen. And, a few of our brand ambassadors, some of the fighters that that we are working with, they'll be fighting on the 17th. Antonio Carlos Jr., Shoeface, he's fighting on the first weekend. And and our rock star Julia Budd is going to be fighting Kayla Harrison on the beginning of July, at, you know, the third week out there. So I spoke to her.
And hey, don't count her out, man. She may be going against Kayla. Kayla's the biggest thing in women's MMA right now. But hey, she is the most formidable competition Kayla's had, and Kayla hasn't taken everybody out in spectacular fashion. So hey, man, it's an MMA fight. You never know.
That's right. Anything goes. I will tell you this, that, you know, win or lose, a lot of eyeballs will be watching that event, and that's good attention for Julia as well as Kayla. I spoke to Julia. We did a Zoom call. We chatted a bit, and she's working hard. She's at her training camp and getting ready, and it just so happens that one of our good Bravago flavors is Rainier Cherry, and she's got a Rainier Cherry farm in her backyard.
Nice.
Because she's
beautiful. That's just appropriate.
She's up in the Pacific Northwest, so that's where her home is. So she's literally got Rainier cherries in her yard.
Nice.
All right, guys, I'll let you go. I'm going to wrap up some news. We might call it a little bit short today because I know you guys are running around, but enjoy your time out there. You guys have a good trip. We'll check in with you next week.
Thank you, partner. You all be well.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
They're going to have a good time out there. Gage is a machine. He's such a good kid. He's a beast when it comes to baseball, by the way. He's a catcher, and I've just seen not only does he have a hell of a swing, but he's got a rocket ship for an arm, man. I've seen him throw people out at second base and just just a rocket. He's just, he's going to be a hell of an athlete. Excuse me. Some of the other things I just wanted to go over real quick were increase in, I don't know if you guys saw this, but an increase in registration fees based on vehicle weight. Now, paying registration fees based on weight is not new, but the idea of major increase. So what they're saying is, I believe fees right now, in Washington, D.C. specifically, but they're talking about rolling this out nationwide. I guess we'll see how that applies state by state. But $72 a year added to the registration fee or part of the registration fee for vehicles 3,500 pounds or less, which doesn't seem like there's a lot of those these days. And then it jumps to $115 for 3,500 pounds to 5,000 pounds. And then $155 for anything over 5,000 pounds. That's the current system, $72, $115, $155. What they want to do is leave the $72 for under 3,500 pounds, but then jump to $175 for cars 3,500 pounds to 5,000 pounds, $175. And then from 5,000 pounds to 6,000 pounds, which is a new category, will be $250 per year. And then anything over 6,000 pounds would be a $500 per year fee to your registration cost. Now it's starting to get to some pretty real money here, $500. Now what they're trying to do is, if you have an EV, because of the weight of the battery and all of those vehicles being being very heavy, there's a waiver if you have an EV, right? So an EV would be, you'd have a special rate of $36 per year for the first 2 years. And then I don't really know where it goes after that. It's kind of interesting. I'm not exactly sure what the point is. By the way, if you have a larger vehicle, if you have something over 10,000 pounds, you're looking at something like $700 registration and then an extra $50 for every 1,000 pounds over 10,000. So my thought was, okay, I get it. The weight of the vehicles, more wear and tear arguably on the roads, this money should go toward repairing roads, right? Which seems like every city needs out here in LA for sure. We need this, but no, that's not what the government is saying. They're saying no. This isn't to repair the roads. They're saying that it's a safety issue. They're saying clearly when a pedestrian or a cyclist comes in contact with an SUV, there's much more damage to that person than if they got hit by a Honda Civic. I'm not sure I get the rationale, but I don't know how they're going to make anything safer by raising the rate. They're literally just trying to deter people from buying trucks and SUVs. They're saying if we make the registration pretty expensive, you may think twice about getting your F-150, and I don't know, maybe you get a Honda Ridgeline instead. But it's really kind of unclear where the money's going to go. This whole thing just kind of feels like a money grab to me. I'm not sure they even thought about all of the details there. But anyway, that's potentially coming down the pike. More money to spend. We've been talking for a while about, how, especially during the pandemic, how things, I think the buying experience is going to change a little bit less in the way of like going to dealers and the dealers having huge inventory, and you test drive a car and you walk around the lot and you pick the kind of the color and the options that you want and you kind of drive home. But also the whole experience of going in and negotiating and trying to haggle this and that, and everybody pays something different. And in a lot of cases on cars that we talk about here, there's crazy markups on things. And we had talked about that process has to go away at some point, right? Like at some point, we're going to go more toward online sales, order the vehicle. Maybe you can go to a dealer and test drive a version. A dealer might have, you know, two or three, you know, F-150s in stock, excuse me, that they use for test drives, but then you just order the vehicle however you want it and you get it from the manufacturer. You pay the sticker price. It's non-negotiable. The price is what it is. There's no markup, but there's no discounts, and that's it. And then the dealers essentially become, I don't know, like customer service centers. You pick up your vehicle there, you take your delivery there, or they bring it to you. You get your maintenance done. You can get some modifications done, and you know, the parts department, the aftermarket department, things like that. But Ford is really leaning into it. Ford is saying they definitely want to do it for all of their EV vehicles, Mustang Mach-E, F-150 Lightning. They just like, you order it, you pay the price, and you go in and get it, or the dealer delivers it to you or whatever. I don't know. I don't mind this. I don't mind this process. I still think people need to be able to test drive cars and maybe go into a dealer, and maybe the dealer experience is a little different. Maybe, you know, in the showroom, there's the different materials and the different colors. You can see the interior colors. They have like leather swatches or cloth swatches, and maybe some seats that you can sit in if there's different seat options on cars and you want to figure out which seat is more comfortable for you. If you can go to a dealer and test a lot of those things and then test drive a vehicle while you're there, and then maybe you can just get online while you're at the dealer and place your order, or go home and place your order. And then when it's there and it's ready and you get what you want, you pay the price and you're locked in and you're good to go, and you get your vehicle. So that seems to be maybe the direction I think we're going in. Ford wants to go that direction. Certainly a lot of the EV startups, you know, the Lucids and the Teslas and Rivians and stuff, like that's the model they're going under. They're a little different because there's not a lot of test driving going on, and I still feel like the test drive is important. I get it. You can get sold on a car on paper. You know, the performance is there. It looks good. You know, you just assume everything works, and you could be right. There's a lot of things we can buy sight unseen, but honestly, it's like, you know, maybe you want to drive it. Maybe if you want to see if it's comfortable or not. I was just driving recently the new Nissan Pathfinder. It's great. It's a huge leap forward over the previous Pathfinder. It has all the tech you want, CarPlay and all the safety features. It looks good. It even has kind of this baby kind of Range Rover Sport look to it. It's three row. It's good. I kind of feel like the only real flaw for me was the seats were a little flat. The seats were a little flat and a little uncomfortable. I did a road trip. I spent a couple hours in the car, and I don't know if just my ass was in a bad mood or that seat was really starting to irritate me, but that's just one of those things that I think you need to experience. Like, you need to just, you know, go for a test drive and see if it's comfortable, or at least sit in one of those seats at a dealer for a while, and see if it's something that you like. Are the bolsters too high? Some things like that. Listen, when I bought my Mustang Mach 1, I didn't get it with the Recaro seats. I got it with the standard seats. Now, there's a couple reasons why. Is first off, I wanted the heated and cooled seats, and the trim package I got, the appearance package, has an orange stripe on the seat that matches the rest of the car that only comes in that color combination with the appearance package. So it was a little bit more unique, in my opinion, than the Recaros. And if I ever want to go to the track, I can put a racing seat in it. So I just pick the more comfortable seat, especially the heated and cool options are really nice. But ultimately, I drove a number of different Mustangs, GT350, GT500, the GT, the performance packs. And the Recaros, for me, being a smaller frame guy, the sides on my back and on my lats, they sit up a little high. They kind of jam into my armpits. If I was a taller guy or maybe longer torso, those seats would fit me a little bit better. But not all of those racing seats are or sort of racing-inspired seats, if you will. It's not like a full racing seat. They're not always the most comfortable option, so you want to be able to try those things out. So anyway, that was just kind of a thought on the new sales model. And by the way, some thoughts on the Nissan Pathfinder. I'll post some images up on my social media so you guys can check that out. I like it, by the way. I think it's a very good option to consider if you're looking for a mid-priced three-row SUV. I think they start at about $36,000 and change, go up to about $50,000, maybe $50,000. The one I drove was nicely equipped, about $47,000, I believe. Yeah, $47,000. It had the V6. I'll tell you that. The throttle response on the V6 seemed a little slow. I felt like it had power, but it just seemed like you had to really mash the gas to get on that power. Maybe it's just more of my driving style. But if you put it into sport mode, obviously it spices things up a little, increases the throttle response. It doesn't really change the power, doesn't add horsepower, but makes it a little peppier, makes it a little bit more fun to drive. I don't know if you drive around in sport mode all the time. I didn't, but it was more fun to put it in sport mode. And it just seems like if the normal mode was a little bit peppier off the line, just had a little bit more throttle response off the line, then I think that would make it a little bit more fun. But I guess it really depends on how you use it, and especially if you're going to be towing anything. Maybe you want it to be a little bit more gentle, but aside from that, I think it's a pretty nice vehicle. The other thing is, if you guys follow Apple, if you're a tech fan, Apple did their Worldwide Developer Conference recently. This isn't really like their new product release. This is more on the developer side, some things coming down the pike, and all the app developers and software developers and hardware developers that work with Apple software and hardware, what's kind of in store for them and how you sign up to get the developer pack and whatnot. But one of the things that came out that's interesting in the car world is Apple CarPlay. They're definitely trying to take more control over all of the screens of your vehicle. Instead of just having CarPlay pop up on your infotainment system and you controlling maps and some music and stuff, they're saying, well, it might make more sense to just take over all of the screens, your gauge cluster and everything, and then you can modify it, you can design it and tune it the way you want and change things. And so instead of the car just sort of plugging in via USB and taking over entertainment, it could effectively run everything. Now, this is kind of interesting that, they showed some examples of this. They showed big screens, kind of like the new Cadillac Escalade has that great dash. It has the infotainment system, but also has the gauges and the screen that kind of goes almost across the entire dash. Imagine CarPlay being able to control all of that stuff. And it might allow you to take certain apps and move it into different areas. Like if you want the infotainment system to have your audio and not have to click off the audio to get to the maps, well, maybe you can move the maps up where the gauges are and then run the audio in the middle, or vice versa, or you can be able to move things around. So features like that could be kind of interesting. And then Jim Farley, CEO of Ford, was recently, I don't know if this is the timing on it or maybe somebody asked him specifically, but it seems like in the past week, maybe it's just coincidence that Apple is saying, hey, we're gonna move forward to controlling all of the screens in your car. And then Ford said, Farley said, yes, he's gave a directive recently to Ford software engineers. And he said, stop trying to develop navigation maps and our own software for all of this stuff. It's like it seems like it gets outdated very quickly. It's not what everybody's using. Everybody has to learn different systems. He's like, we should just be working with Google and Apple and just have them do it. Just outsource it and get it done that way. And I don't know. I start to think about it, and I don't think he's wrong. There was a time that I used navigation in cars that I was driving that were native to the car manufacturer. But now anytime I need directions, I just plug in my phone. I just plug in my phone. I'm using Apple Maps or using Waze, and I don't know. I mean, I guess what are your thoughts on that? You know, does everybody plug in their phone now? I guess if you're using the native maps in your car, it's because maybe you don't want to use as much data on your phone. Maybe data is an issue. You know, the price of the phone of data could be an issue. I feel like a lot of plans are pretty robust with data plans right now. So I'm not quite sure, but I don't know. You guys tell me. I'm just kind of curious to see what you guys think. Should Apple CarPlay and Android Auto start to take over more of all of these systems in your car? Would you be fine with that or no, or hard pass? But, you know, the aftermarket systems as well, you know, in my truck, my Ford Lightning, I think you guys probably saw it if you followed it, you know, maybe a year or so ago. I haven't taken photos of the interior in a while. We're doing some new things on the truck, but I put a touchscreen in there. We took out the single DIN radio. I put in an Alpine stereo, and it's got a floating screen. It's got like a 9-inch screen, and it's good. It works fine. There's a few features that it doesn't have that I wish it had, which I think the new Alpine unit has. It doesn't have the RDS. It doesn't have like the data coming over the radio to tell you the names of the bands and the music and stuff. I think the new version does. It didn't have HD radio, which I think the new version does. And this is the same for a lot of the aftermarket audio manufacturers, Pioneer, Alpine, I think JVC. I think they're all going in the way of all this new technology. It works with Android Auto, works with CarPlay. The touchscreen is great. You know, it doesn't have the high-res audio from Apple, but I think the new version, again, does. It doesn't have wireless CarPlay, but I think the new versions do. All of the, you know, the aftermarket manufacturers have it. So now you're kind of getting into this world where, and by the way, I didn't want to cut up the dash in the Lightning, so I still have the single DIN radio. And for Alpine, I have the Halo system. So it's a single DIN, and it has a 9-inch screen that kind of sticks out and floats above the dash. So I didn't have to cut anything up to put in a big double DIN. I didn't have to have a big fold out screen, kind of old school, that tucks away like the DVD player screens. And I want to say a lot of the aftermarket manufacturers, they all have these types of screens now, single DIN into the dash, and then has a big screen. You can get 9-inch, I don't know, 10, 11-inch, whatever you want. And it's cool the way it adjusts, because you can adjust how far out it comes in. So if your radio is deep into the dash, you can move, you can still plug it in and then have the screen come out, you know, an inch or so. You can move the screen up and down, left and right, side to side. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can configure it to make it work. And it actually worked out really good in my truck. You know, having wireless CarPlay and stuff would be kind of neat. But anyway, that's kind of how... just another example of how we're getting all of this technology into old cars and into new cars, right? We can get some pretty modern tech into an older car without really cutting it all up. You know, if you can fit a single DIN radio now, you can get all kinds of cool stuff in there. So, I don't know, just kind of a thought on that. You know, and speaking of the Lightning. If you guys have followed on my Instagram, we've been doing a few little modifications to it. Subtle stuff that you guys will see. First of all, the door handles, the exterior door handles. They're kind of a lightweight stamped metal. It has a plastic push button, thumb button to open the door. It's a little flimsy. It has some sharp edges on it. It looks a little, oddly enough, it looks a little small for the truck. The metal's kind of thin. So we started redesigning it. My friend Chris Brown and I have been working on it. He's a great designer, and he's been working on this stuff in some CAD software, and we 3D printed some new handles, and we did one version out of billet aluminum, but we're going to make a few more modifications. So unfortunately, those are going to probably end up being scrapped. But we ended up making a little bit heftier a door handle. It's got smoother radiuses. It feels way better on the hand. It's amazing that something like a door handle really kind of makes a difference. The push button is aluminum. It has a nice indentation where your thumb is. It feels strong. It feels secure. We did some stuff on the backside of the button to make the button not wobble. It moves very smoothly and opens the door perfectly, right? It just really works well. So as we started doing that, I also started looking at the side mirrors. Now, the Lightning, the Gen 1 Lightning is a single cab, just a standard cab. It you can't really lean the seats back much. There's not much room there. And the mirrors always felt like they were too far back on the door, meaning too close to the driver. And the reason being is it has that little quarter window that you can open on the side glass there. So we're doing a couple of things. Is one, I'm doing a one piece glass conversion. So I'm getting rid of the side, the quarter window, and we're doing a single piece of glass, and that glass will obviously still go up and down. But to go up and down, we have to change the mirror because there's a brace inside the door that goes from the mirror from the outside door skin to the inside door skin. And if you eliminate the quarter window and use a larger piece of glass, that glass would hit that brace going inside. So we needed to change the mirrors anyway. And some guys have done this one piece glass conversion, and they bought some lightweight plastic mirrors and some things at Hot Rod World and whatever. But we decided we were going to make our own. So, first what we did was, we kind of looked at the front of the truck. We looked at the front grill and kind of the shape. It's kind of flat in the front, and then it kind of pitches back just a little bit above the headlights. And we kind of modeled that design theme onto the body of the mirrors, and did some work on those. Ended up 3D printing some mirrors. Found a piece of glass from another car. I don't know if it's I think we're actually using like a Bronco 2 glass. I got to double check to see if that's still what we're using. But that's what the initial design was based off of. So we 3D printed some mirrors. And the idea was to move the mirror more forward on the door toward the front fender. So you can get a better view of the side and behind the vehicle. So it really kind of changes the angle of things. And then we started thinking about it going, well, it's easy for us to do a custom piece and move the mirror forward, fill in the holes, put some new holes, and just do it that way. But then we started thinking, if we wanted to make these mirrors available to F-150 owners, could we design it in a way that it uses the factory bolt holes, but then still move the mirror forward? And so the footprint on the door where it would bolt onto the door will stay the same, but the arm that holds the mirror is much different. The angle of it is different. It leans forward, and it really kind of changes the look of it. So it'd be a full billet mirror. It'll move the mirror forward I think about 2 inches, 2.5 inches, and I'll move the mirror up a little bit, about an inch, so you don't have to see the belt line of the door. You can get a little bit better shot of the mirror. So we're finalizing some designs on that, but it'll be cool. So I posted on my social media. I posted up on Instagram and Facebook some of the renderings, some pictures of the 3D pieces, and see what you guys think. But the feel of it is good. It's going to be a subtle change. When it's done, you'll see there'll be a single piece side glass, a billet mirror, a billet door handle. We might, you know, everything is gloss black, and then, you know, the lightning, then when if you got the black one, everything was body color, but we might just offset it a little bit. Like we might do like a Cerakote on them, and then I don't know if it's just going to be textured or not. It could just be smooth again. We're going to have to look into that. But maybe just do just something not quite gloss black like the rest of the stuff. Maybe just something like a matte black to offset it, or a very, very dark gray, sort of a dark like gunmetal gray with maybe a satin finish, just to give it a little bit more personality. So anyway, if you guys see those, I'd love your comments and get your thoughts on those. And if you've done anything custom like that on any of your vehicles, please share those as well. I'd love to see those. Send me a message or post up on Facebook. But anyway, appreciate that. So, all right, we're just going to go ahead and we're going to wrap things up today. And we'll catch you guys next week. Appreciate you guys listening. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenaise. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.